Third down and 20.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Third and 20 Dynasty Podcast. Currently, it's the Frank and JT show, but Jake should be joining us later on. With that, it's season 4, episode 10. We are now officially over halfway through the NFL season, and we are definitely over halfway through your fantasy football seasons. So with that, we kind of want to make this a contender episode. We teased it last week when we were going to talk about potential schedules to be looking to buy players from, teams that might have easy schedules, different trades we're doing. But first, just want to kick it up back to Frank. Frank, what were your thoughts on this week so far?
I don't know. I feel like the past couple of weeks have been kind of weird. A lot of backup quarterbacks, right? Josh Dobbs right now is someone that is probably kind of carrying some of your leagues. But nonetheless, I do think that we're going to see a lot of good players come back to being really good. You know, Mahomes, I don't believe, is going to – and the Chiefs offense, right? Mahomes and Kelce are going to continue on the slide that they've had. A lot of this has to do with just matchups, how the matchups play out, who you're playing, and when you're playing them. Now that we're over halfway through the year, I do think that we're going to see, we have a relatively good idea how teams were either different from the beginning of the season or who was really good and who was really bad. We were talking last week about how it might be a good idea to look ahead, see when your playoff matchups are. If you're a team that's 8-2, 7-3 or above, you're almost a lock for the playoffs. You can go under 500 and still have a pretty darn good chance of making it. So I'm thinking, who are the guys that we want to target? Who are the guys that we have that have the good matchups? First comes first, I think, that jumps off the schedule, JT, I think you'll agree with me here, is the Eagles. They're playing the Seahawks, Giants, and Cardinals in your playoff matchups. Who do you think the guy is to purchase, if any, on that offense? Because that's already a pricey team to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, so perennially, I think that's how you say that word. Year in and year out, the Cardinals stink at defending against tight ends, right? And you're getting lucky where we currently have a tight end who is on IR in Dallas Goedert, but I don't think it's a very long-term issue, seeing as it's, what, like a broken forearm or something that he had going on? Whatever his injury is, it doesn't seem like it's going to be keeping him out for the season. So that could be a cheap buy for, not cheap, obviously, but Dallas Goedert isn't considered top tier like the likes of the Travis Kelce, Sam Laporta at this point of the world. He's kind of in that tier below. And with that kind of schedule, those are some teams that struggle to defend against the tight end. Specifically, that one week that I'm targeting is the Cardinals. I'm just making sure, though. I don't want to give advice on someone who's going to be out that week.
Rappaport but, said 4 weeks, and it was week 9. So this is 1 week into that.
Okay.
So that's about week, yeah, so that's going to be right before the playoffs start. You can get Goddard back, because week 15, I believe, is the starting week of the playoffs for 16 leagues.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 weeks after that 4 week mark. So yeah. I actually do think you're right, because right now, I will say, it's a little bit of the changing of the guard at the top of the tight end market, where we have a lot of these young tight ends, Laporta, Kincaid, especially, taking up now 2 top 5 spots. Goddard does seem to be now on the fringes of the tight end rankings. He's out of the top 5. He's closer to tight end 10. Probably still worth a decent price, but I don't believe he's at that first round price tag anymore. He's got to be a little bit away from that.
Yeah, Yeah, I don't think he's first-round price. The thing about this, too, is I want to look into this, you know, in a quick side tangent while we're still focusing on schedules, is the problem with buying some players is you still might be facing another bye week for these players, right? Like, I know, for example, the Ravens, I think they have a week 13 bye. Yeah, okay. Here are all the teams that still have bye week. Starting with this week right now are the Falcons, Colts, Patriots, and Saints. Some of those teams are devoid of talent. I'm looking at you, Patriots. Week 13 are the Ravens, Bills, Bears, Raiders, Vikings, Giants. And then week 14 are the Cardinals and Commanders. So
I don't think it's a huge issue, though, because I'm just looking for playoffs at this point. I'm doing moves in these leagues where I'm really thinking I'm going to be in the playoffs.
I agree. But if we're giving advice to go out and buy, now this is a crazy one, but like Lamar Jackson, right? And like you're expecting to, you know, be competing with Lamar Jackson, and all of a sudden you're without Lamar Jackson for week 13 and you need to win that game to make the playoffs. All right, that's going to be tough issue. Obviously, that's very niche, but just something I wanted to consider before making these buy announcements. So yeah, I think most, like you were saying, most 16 playoffs, that'll start week 15. So with that being said, are you looking for, when we're talking about this strategy, are you looking for players who have the favorable schedule week 15, week 16, or 17? Like, what would you consider to be the most important when you're talking about this? Because for me, if I'm a contender and I think I'm a contender, I better be trying full on out for that bye. So week 15 might not even matter for me. Week 15, I might get that bye. Then I'm just focused solely on week 16 and 17. Whereas right. If I'm a team that, you know what I'm saying? Like there's levels to this. What do you think, Frank?
I completely agree. I think week 16 and week 17 is what we're mainly looking for. I think week 15 is an added benefit, but realistically we're looking for 16 and 17. And I'm thinking for the Eagles, Giants, and Cardinals. Those are two teams that, I mean, the Cardinals might be a little bit more interesting here at the end of the year where their offense doesn't suck, but the Giants are completely cooked. And that's that week to get into the championship. I'm not scared of the Cardinals. They're going to be average at best. So Eagles players could be a really nice little move. So I think another one to pick up potentially would be one of the running backs, probably in DeAndre Swift. Once again, the price tag is going to be a little annoying, but I think the way that I would try to do this strategy is pivoting one running back into another. So trying to find a running back that is a really crap matchup and pivoting him into one that has a potentially really good matchup. So, and it's unfortunate timing here, but the Bills with they have the Chargers in week 16, which is pretty solid, but the Patriots in week 17 is a team that the Patriots always seem to be top half against the run. And on top of that, it just feels like the way teams have been beating them is through the air. It just stinks that James Cook's value has probably dipped a little bit as of late. The other one I think that's really interesting, though, for how we get into these Eagles, and this is going to be pretty controversial because this has been basically the best offense so far, but it's the Dolphins. They have the Jets, the Cowboys, and the Ravens. The Cowboys and Ravens in those last two championship weeks. Championship and then to get into the championship. Those are like three of the top 10 defenses. Back to back to back. With Baltimore being, I'm pretty sure, numero uno in that championship game. Is this a scenario where we want to move? It just hurts so bad moving Tyreek Hill, who's put up the best numbers. Like, he might just be matchup proof. But Tua, I think, is someone that I would move.
So obviously it's different teams than previous years. But if I'm remembering that Dolphins-Ravens game from that was last year, right? Was that not just like a complete shootout? In 2022, 42-38 Dolphins. Obviously, like, the Ravens picked up Roquan Smith. What's his face was injured, the cornerback. He tore his ACL. I forget which one it was that tore his ACL. He was out. So the Ravens definitely picked up and beefed up their defense. But yeah, I'm not sure how concerned I am. And Tyreek Hill also put up like almost 200 yards.
Yeah, like Tyreek Hill, I think, is too good. I wouldn't move him in this strategy, but I would heavily think about, because I think the Ravens defense is wildly better than in previous years, right? I think in previous years they were one of those favorable matchups if you were a team passing the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you remember Ja'Marr Chase also.
Right, which is not the case this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's annoying because the Dolphins, you can clearly make the argument this offense is so good that they just beat anyone, good or bad defense. But it's kind of scary looking down the barrel of literally three of the league's top defenses in the playoffs. So I think with Waddle and with Tua, and I'm really thinking about it with the running backs, potentially trying to pivot off them. Mostert might be a little bit of an exception because his price is just too low. But even if someone has, I like Achane a lot, it might just be better. Like, if I'm trying to win a championship, I might be able to trade Achane for value and then use that value that I pick up to go pick up DeAndre Swift and then net a little bit in profit.
That's definitely something I'd be willing to do or be looking forward to doing. Simply because I'm not, like, I think Achane, I think he's good, but I don't think he's like, whatever, running back like 3 or 4, whatever his dynasty value is right now at that price. And getting someone like DeAndre Swift, who I always have been a big fan of, I'm definitely for that.
Yeah, getting him in that Giants and Cardinals matchup, that's going to be a run fest, man. They're just going to be those are two teams that you don't really have to do anything against. I guess the Cardinals is different now with Kyler, but the Giants, just don't turn the ball over and you win.
Moving off Tua, though, is probably more so what I try and do, because I think, again, in similar thing where it's like we have someone who's probably ranked right around where his peak is. I think we were talking about him like borderline quarterback 10, maybe even inside quarterback 10 in the current rankings going on. And while I think Tua is solid, he is more so like one of those guys that's a product of his weapons. And how long are the Dolphins going to be able to sustain both Tyreek Hill and Waddle on that team? When does the cliff hit for Tyreek Hill? And not to mention, like you were saying, that Ravens team, they've only allowed one top 12 quarterback week this year. Actually, that was before week 10. So maybe Deshaun snuck in there, but that would make it 2, which would be like the lowest in the league next to the Chiefs. So Tua is someone I'd probably be moving off as well. Tyreek Hill does kind of feel matchup proof. Waddle, I wouldn't say that's the case.
I would be a little scared of Waddle. The problem is, it's the fact that it's back to back to back weeks.
Yeah,
it
has a murderer's row of just tough defenses.
Like, if it was one and then like an above average, I think that's a different story. Or if it's just one, a good one and then an average. But man, you're playing just three of the top if you were in that wild card spot with one of these players, that is going to be tough. That's going to be a little bit of a scary scenario. Not that it's like, oh, I'm frightening, because these are phenomenal players. But like I said before, with the Achane scenario, you might be able to profit and then get into a better matchup mm-hmm. at the same time,
mm-hmm.
which is something that I would really be looking to do. Another scenario, now this is kind of more on the cheaper end, but when I was going through this, and this is another one with a big asterisk next to it, but the Broncos, they have Detroit, New England, Chargers, New England and Chargers being week 16 and 17, those two moneymaker weeks. Those are two teams that, as of recently, have really struggled against the pass. The problem is that the Broncos are the Broncos. Can they even consistently pass?
Yeah, I mean, trying to figure out, putting your money in on Russ cooking is an interesting strategy. But let me just look real quick. So we were talking, the Lions are weak. 15.
Lions are week 15, which I think they generally have a good defense, but they're a team that I almost feel like they match their opponent, right? If it's a shootout, they're willing to shoot out. If it's not, they're willing to grime it out.
Yeah, the Lions, I think, feel like the Lions, I think, are fine. The Patriots won. That seems like a grimy game that I wouldn't really want to, pay attention to. But I'm just looking right now for the rankings of each of the teams. New England has allowed the fourth most top 24 wide receiver games to opponents. So that's pretty solid. But on the flip side, they're in like that middle to lower half for quarterbacks. And then also running backs, they're favorable. Tight ends, middle of the pack. So they're kind of like a middling group. The Lions are actually very strong against running backs. They've only had four top 24 games for running backs, and as well as only four top 24 games for wide receivers. So Lions are kind of one of those teams where it's like you'd think there'd be a lot of production coming against this team because they can't play defense. But as far as running backs and wide receivers are concerned, that's not really the case.
Well, to me, they're one of these teams that is really stout against the run so that you want to just air the ball out more, right?
So, yeah, that's what you'd think, but it's they've only allowed up into week 10 four top 24 wide receiver games.
Damn. Okay, so that week 15, I guess then these Broncos aren't looking as good as I previously thought then, because I agree that that New England game could be pretty sketchy.
It's just it's one of those games where it just feels like it's going to be grimy. It might end like 17-13, like not that much offense going on.
But speaking of the Chargers and Patriots, the Bills have them as well right now in week 16 and 17. I believe they have Dallas in week 15, but now the Bills kind of shit the bed offensively against the Patriots more times than not. But I think that Chargers game to get you into the championship could really be a shootout.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what they do with now Ken Dorsey gone from the team. So
I think that's great for the Bills. I would be buying if anyone's, I don't think anyone is panicking, but
you're out on Ken Dorsey. You just didn't like what they're doing.
I was not a fan of what Ken Dorsey was doing. Really. I think that he just, when you have an, I don't know. I just feel like when you have an offense like that, the Bills didn't take advantage of enough of, we can kind of just line up and win. They were doing so much weird shit with the ball, right? Like tight end screens to freaking Dawson Knox. And then, let's give 25 touches to James Cook, who I really think is average at best. Like, just use him as a little passing game check down weapon when you're cooking them already with your downfield threats. And like, they're like, oh shit, now we have to worry about James Cook. Like, I feel how you have to use that.
Have Lombardi Lenny there too now, right? Leonard Fournette has signed with the Bills. I'm interested to see when he makes his like full appearance, like how much that will eat into James Cook. If Latavius Murray does end up getting a bigger role as well, who knows? But yeah, I like the Bills a lot more than I like the Broncos if we're talking looking at schedules.
Well,
but
one last thing I want to say with Josh Allen though, and this is once again a problem I have with Ken Dorsey, is that I felt like Ken Dorsey tried wait, and this is going to sound dumb with all the turnovers that Josh Allen's doing, but just bear with me. I feel like they tried too hard to contain Josh Allen and to make Josh Allen this like, oh, I'm going to pick you apart, not turn the ball over. And then Ken Dorsey wanted to call up when Josh Allen made the big plays. And I don't think that's the way that you should do it. I think that when you go out there, you should have Josh Allen looking to make the big plays. And then when the big plays aren't there, then take what the defense is giving you and throw it underneath. And I felt like when you're calling all of this bullshit, Josh Allen wants to make the big plays. That's what he does best. He does this crazy stuff, running with the ball, chucking it deep. So when you're restricting that element of his game, he's going to start doing that on concepts where he probably shouldn't, right? When there's a clear out route and he likes it, he's just going to start throwing that because he wants to make plays. Mm-hmm. Because Ken Dorsey is calling too much of that game manager bullshit, too much of this manufactured bullshit. You have Josh Allen, just run some pretty simple offense and take advantage of your numbers advantage, right? Like zone reads and all that shit, right? Like, it's really not hard to manufacture offense with the Bills. Like, if you're not doing that, come on. Like, look at the team. They're ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Broncos defense has stepped it up.
The Broncos defense is nice.
Yeah, but that's still a team the Dolphins dropped 70 on. Like, if you're supposed to be these contenders and whatnot for the Bills, like, you got to score more than whatever they scored yesterday. I don't even remember. It was like 20.
The Broncos secondary, though, is based. I'm pretty sure they got a whole lot of people back. They're playing astronomically better.
They definitely are playing better, but you're supposed to be the Buffalo Bills. You're supposed to have this explosive offense and everything. And
no excuse.
Look, Dawson Knox being out is not enough of a reason for you not to be scoring points. It's not like Dawson Knox was the backbone of this offense.
So another low-key buy while we're at it, and this is one that I'm going to probe around in my leagues. It's going to be tough because of the price tag. But the Steelers play... hear me out, because this is going to sound crazy, but they play the Colts in Week 15, the Bengals in Week 16, and the Seahawks in Week 17.
I'm going to one-up you in a minute.
All three of these teams are bottom half against the run, and the Steelers have been running the ball pretty well. We've seen Jaylen Warren, I think it's back-to-back games with over 100 all-purpose yards. He's the one I'd much rather buy long term. I'm not really sure I want to do with Najee right now, and I'm not really sure I want to pay anything for him. But then again, if you can get him for really cheap, I do think he will be startable, especially if you need like an RB2 kind of play on a weak running back team going into the playoffs. These guys could be bought pretty nice, and they could pay dividends in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm trying to think which of those two I would rather have.
I think Jaylen Warren is low-key really fucking nice and could be worth a lot more in the future.
He has me worried of if he's going to follow the like Tony Pollard route, where I don't know what he does with the full workload. Najee, I guess it just depends on how cheap he is. Like, I'm starting to turn around on Najee where it's like everyone's now starting to hate him a lot. Where if the hate's getting too much, I might go in.
Right.
To be determined. But all right, that's a pretty solid schedule, Frank. But can I one up you here?
Sure. But what position? Right. Running back?
All positions, Frank. All positions. All
positions. Okay. Who do we
got? Because now this is kind of a you're gonna have to hold your nose and just hope something happens to this team. But the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons, they start week 15 against the Panthers. They have week 16 against the Colts and week 17 against the Bears. And if we're talking about matchups, right? I'll start with the Bears, who are week 17. The Bears have allowed the most quarterback one games to their opponents. They've also allowed the top tight end one games to their opponents. Middle of the pack for wide receiver games, to slightly below average, or you know, you want to play them less. But then running backs, they're also one of the top in allowing points to a running back position. Similarly, the Panthers, they're next to the Cardinals, the number one team in allowing points to running backs. The Cardinals are also one of the top teams allowing points to tight ends. Same thing with quarterback. They're only behind the Bears and Commanders in that regard. And then again, they're kind of middle of the pack for wide receivers, which, I mean, other than Drake London, I don't know if you're buying the wide receivers anyway. This is more so, you know, whatever quarterback you think it's going to be, Taylor Heineke or Desmond Ridder.
Well, I think that's the issue right there is, okay, if we want to start at quarterback, what happened? Heineke. Did Heineke get hurt last week?
He got concussed. Hamstring.
Hamstrung?
I'm pretty sure.
So is he still the starter or no?
They're going to reassess. This is their bye week this week. And I think they're reassessing about the bye. Just kind of depends on how long we have Taylor Heineke out with the hamstring. But Desmond Ridder really... He did the same thing that Desmond Ridder's been doing, where it's like he gets the edge and he's able to score that touchdown on the read option kind of play. But other than that, Desmond Ridder has not been allowing a whole lot on offense. It's just more so, I think, is Taylor Heineke healthy after the bye? It's different than like a wide receiver having a hamstring injury or a running back having a hamstring injury.
Well, if you have a team that has both of them in a league, do you think a second gets both of them right now?
I assume so, because I mean, this is like a rental, right? Like, you can't really rely on either guy giving you a normal amount of playing time in the future, because we've seen there have been like good fill-in players. I'm thinking about Josh Dobbs, Tyrod Taylor. Before he got injured, he was looking pretty nice for the Giants. We're gonna have players coming into the league. As in rookies with Caleb Williams and Drake May, and this rookie quarterback class has looked pretty nice, especially with Anthony Richardson coming back. So I don't know how long you can trust either Desmond Ridder or Taylor Heineke. So anything more than like a mid to late second, I feel like is asking a lot for those guys.
Right. But because if I had them and I was not a contending team, I would take a second for the package of them.
I mean, depends on if Arthur Smith's still coaching when we get to that point, because I know his seat's getting hotter and hotter as it goes on. I mean, they're still in playoff contention.
They're both cooked.
Like, no, I'm talking about the rest of the. I'm talking about the rest of the team. The rest of the team in terms of what's going on in the playoffs, right? Because if we get a coaching change, Tyler Allgeier might be rendered useless, right? Like, if a normal coach comes in, they're like, oh, we just drafted Bijan Robinson with our like very high first round pick, we should probably use the guy, especially if they're still in playoff contention then, which I'm assuming they should be, because it's not like any of these NFC South teams are pulling away. So Bijan, I think he's going to be expensive, but that's a great long-term buy that could be that league winner, kind of like a Jonathan Taylor looking at the end of his rookie season where he just all of a sudden popped off.
Right. Now, the way to get into Bijan, I think, is Twitter has solved this for you, because I saw there was a huge argument on Twitter about where should, like, should you be panicking on Bijan at all? And there was a good amount of people, not necessarily saying, like, oh my God, sell him at all costs, but basically saying it's more worth it to have one of the top receivers than it is to have Bijan, and that he's just not really worth that RB1 price tag anymore. So with that being said, if you wanted to, you could probably transition. Now, this is a move that that you might be able to do. You have Jaylen Waddle for your Miami. You might be able to move him into Bijan. Garrett Wilson, you may even be able to get a little bit of plus on top of Bijan, right? Like a very metric smidge. Chris Olave. And then you could definitely get a plus, I think, right now on top of Amon-Ra, CD, AJ Brown, but I can totally understand not wanting to trade those players. But basically moving some of those backer half, wide receiver 9, 8, 7 into Bijan. There was a whole lot of people on Dynasty Twitter saying that they'd much rather have those receivers, which makes me think that, you know, you might be able to get Bijan at a relatively favorable deal.
Would you rather... I'm just looking at their schedule right now to kind of get a full understanding of what he'd be facing. All right, that's kind of middle of the pack. Would you rather Garrett Wilson or Bijan Robinson? Straight up.
Straight up, I think I'm... Oh, it's close. On a contending team, I think I'd rather have Bijan.
I agree. And when you have Garrett Wilson facing the Browns in the playoffs, I just think you're going to have a way better shot of winning your league with Bijan than Garrett Wilson. Obviously, shorter shelf life with Bijan and everything, but I just think the points you're getting now, or you should be getting with Bijan, compared to the headache with Garrett Wilson that you might be facing, who knows what that... I mean, Aaron Rodgers should be back next year, assuming that he's already trying to make it back for December. And it sounds like he wants to keep playing. But, I mean, it's Bijan Robinson. I think Bijan Robinson's locked. I'm locking Bijan in for, like, that Hall of Fame jacket. I don't care what we've seen right now. I still think he's elite talent. I think it's just going to take someone who's actually competent in terms of getting this team into the red zone and everything, into the end zone. But yeah, I would trade Garrett Wilson straight up for Bijan Robinson, and I think that would actually be a league-winning move for this year.
Yeah, I just like Garrett Wilson a lot because And the other thing is, you know, investing top end assets into running backs is always playing somewhat of a dangerous game.
Yeah.
That being said, if I'm a contending team and I think that Bijan is going to give you more points in the playoffs than Garrett Wilson. And realistically, if they're in a startup draft, I might slightly prefer Garrett Wilson because I think Garrett Wilson's just a safer player to have. But man, they're both just blue chip players. I agree with you. They're probably still, to me, very early second, late first type startup players, both of them.
Yeah, look, I think I'm of the opinion that Bijan's just going to way outscore Garrett Wilson for the rest of the year, regardless of when Aaron Rodgers comes back, if he decides to come back this year. In that terms, like if it's helping me move on to the next round of the playoffs, if it's helping me win the league or whatever, I don't really care about the long term effects of
giving
up that value. I could just it's going to be a little bit more annoying, but I could find ways to pick up value because once you win the league, you're playing with house money. It's easier to rebound that way.
Yeah, so I actually really agree with you now, thinking about it more, because you get right now priced in with Garrett Wilson the hope of Aaron Rodgers coming back.
Right. I mean, Reddit was saying he should be a top five wide receiver right now, regardless of who the quarterback is. It's just that
he is. He's valued at wide receiver four or five right now. Because I can definitely see a lot of people taking him over AJ Brown. But as a contending team, you may just want the extra points. Yeah, you can flip Garrett Wilson for Bijan. 100%. I think there are people that will give you a smidge on top, right? If you can gauge that they're slightly panicked on Bijan, you might be able to get a third on top as well. Just get a little extra value or get a little like handcuff running back or something. And I agree with you. I think he gives you more points. So that's a pretty savvy move. I think that's nice. Especially here in the favorable schedule. I'm trying to look.
I don't think you can ask for a much better schedule than Panthers, Colts, Bears.
The Packers, they have the Panthers in week 16 and then the Vikings in week 17. Which I think are kind of interesting. The Vikings to me might just be one of these teams that's getting in clown fiestas every week. And like, good for them because they'll win more games that way. The Panthers are the Panthers. Their offense sucks. So that's going to be a battle of like probably punts. But I'm just thinking maybe for these running backs in week 16 and 17, you have the Bucs, which sucks in week 15. Like, you might as well just bench him if Vita Vea is playing. But then week 16 and week 17. Aaron Jones might be more healthy by then, might be nice. A.J. Dillon actually looked decent against the Steelers, which is a surprise. He's looked pretty trash basically the entire year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't love it, but it's something to consider.
I don't know what the state of the team's going to be looking like in terms of, is LaFleur switching up how this offense is run? Everyone's been trying to push this play action stuff. Oh, Jordan Love's way better than with play action. They do have Aaron Jones back almost to fully healthy now, with AJ Dillon there as well. I think that is a team that relies more on the run as the season goes on, just because they know Jordan Love's not really the guy. If you're going after those running backs, I don't hate it.
He was making some plays though early in the game. I'll give him that against the Steelers. It's just they give you a couple plays and then they give you a nice solid like stretch of 15 plays in a row of just dog shit. And that involves four punts, a lot of penalties, and a bunch of second downs where you get nothing.
Yeah.
Cause then like against the Steelers, they were in third long all the time. It's just in the beginning of the game, they were converting them. And then at the end of the game, they weren't. You can't live like that with Jordan Love. You're not going to do that. You're not going to win.
So,
I've got more. So the Chiefs running backs, you've got in week 15, the Patriots, which I think is a bad matchup. But in week 16 and 17, you get Vegas and the Bengals. Now, the Vegas might be a weird team, but I feel like the Chiefs just destroy them every year. And then the Bengals are another team where their defense has been very suspect. We just saw CJ Stroud tear them apart. Patrick Mahomes could very well do the same thing. I'm pretty sure they're a bottom five defense for the most part. Bottom 10, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs playmakers are pretty discounted right now, given that it's been like 3 weeks in a row where they haven't really produced very well.
Yeah, but who's the buy there?
I think it could be Pacheco. Listen, JT, I understand that's not a great buy. I'm not paying the first round price tag for him. But once again, if we are able to transition a running back that has a crappier matchup, like, I'd love to see what Mixon's up to. He's an annoying player. I might just give like Mixon plus into Pacheco or something and try to get someone who at least has good matchups.
My issue, I'm trying to remember last year. Was Pacheco injured around that time last year?
I have no idea. That was, what has Mixon like been up to, by the way? Has he been terrible or good?
No, he had a nice run. It was against the Texans last week. I forget. He was about to get hit in the backfield and ripped it off into a nice long run. I forget if that was last week against the Texans or the week prior. But I'm just thinking about the Chiefs, right? Like, maybe Pacheco was injured, but didn't McKinnon just pop off for that fantasy playoffs? I think I won the third and 20
league. Yeah, I think he did.
Thanks in part to McKinnon. So it always has me worried about, like, are these random players? I mean, other than Travis Kelce, like, can I really, and Mahomes, obviously, can I really trust any of these guys? It's not like they have Tyreek Hill anymore. You're going to get that mishmash of players. And Pacheco has looked better. I don't know. I think he kind of fools people. It's just his, like, super aggressive run style that doesn't compare. I don't know if that's sustainable, too, how long he can just bang into everyone, especially as we get further into the year.
I'm not buying him long-term. If I got Pacheco instantly after the season, I'm selling him.
Flipping him?
Another deal, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think that he's someone that, come those weeks of the year in 16 and 17, he could be seeing just 16 carries. And I don't really know where his price is at right now. He's had back-to-back crap weeks, hasn't he? Yeah, 5.2 and 6.6 the past 2 weeks with a bye.
Really? It's been that bad? I don't really have Pacheco, so it's not like I'm...
And then he's playing Philly this week, which may be another bad matchup.
Philly's allowed the least... them and Cleveland, they're the two lowest for running backs.
So that's the thing. Let's say Pacheco has another snooze fest of a week, under 8 points. You might be able to pick him up at a pretty solid discount. Don't know, though, because that's going to be league-dependent once again, whether or not you're going to be able to pick him up. But, like... someone else that if you have a running back with those bad matchups, flipping him into Pacheco who has the good ones. I don't really know about the pass catching options, though.
I just wouldn't trust any of them.
Rashee Rice, I do think
he's the one. He's the one that I've been saying for a little while now, picking him up, especially for this playoff run.
But the problem is that Rashee Rice is in that mix and paradox kind of scenario where.
Yeah.
I'm not giving a first for him. You might be able to do something kind of interesting where you give someone else in a second and get into them.
Yeah. Yeah. If I have to give up a first, though, for Rashee Rice, definitely not doing it. If I can finesse my way with the second, even then, I don't know.
I mean, is it worth
getting to that point?
Is he a type of player that's maybe worth targeting as breaking up a better receiver into?
Probably not. I mean, depends on what receiver you're thinking of. But I don't really want Rashee Rice for
DK Metcalf. Let's say you can break him up into Rashee Rice and I don't know, what's like another running back that can help you out that you can get that's the difference between the two?
AJ Dillon? I don't know what the price.
Keep trade cut says about a mid second, which I tend to agree with.
I'd probably just rather have DK.
Yeah, I think I might too. I'm not really liking the sound of that too much.
Yeah.
Rice in a second though is not the thing is that that's not really a contender move.
No.
Unless
no,
you're paying not. A second for depth.
Well, you know what? Like how you're saying with the Dolphins, do you want to look at like some other teams that we should avoid, and then maybe we figure out like, all right, this is like the players that we could get off and you know, move for players that we should buy.
Okay. Yeah, I'm down.
All right, because like players that I'm thinking of, especially ones that have like ambiguous situations, right? Like James Conner, for example, right? In week 15, he plays the 49ers, who are not as great against the run as they typically have been, but they're still pretty good. They're in like the top five, top 10 in that regard. So you got James Conner against the 49ers first week of the playoffs. Second week of the playoffs, you do get a reprieve against the Bears, which are one of the best teams. But in week 17, you get the Eagles, which again is one of the top two teams against the run. So you get the Bears, but it's sandwiched in between both the 49ers and Eagles. And to me, I don't know how much more tread is on the James Conner tires. He's very efficient. He was like the touchdown leading scorer. I think it was Eckler, but James Conner was also right up there too. I don't know how reliable that will be going forward. So he's probably someone I'd be trying to get off. The rest of the Cardinals offense, I think, is pretty undervalued, to be honest. So I think it's just James Conner.
That is interesting, though, because I feel like the Niners, were they the or no, I think it was the Rams that usually just blew out the Cardinals, and Kyler actually had some decent success against the Niners. Is that one of...
I don't remember.
Well, the thing is that I was thinking, what if you used Hollywood as a piece to get into some of these more interesting players?
Maybe. I just really like Hollywood.
I do too.
He's a target monster. I think he's still kind of being undervalued. I was impressed with Kyler. I don't know if we want to talk about that, but I was impressed with how Kyler looked coming back. I did not expect that.
But those are some tough matchups, man. Niners and Eagles in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's more so where I was hyper-focused on James Conner out of anyone there, because he's that guy that you bought as a contender and like you're expecting him to perform, and I don't think that's going to be the case come fantasy playoff season.
Right. So. I mean, you probably are going to have to overpay in a deal where you're using James Conner. But it might be worth you. Maybe if he comes back and has a favorable week in between now and whenever your trade deadline is,
yeah,
that would be more ideal.
I just think you're getting off the ride before it hits zero. Because I mean, maybe it doesn't hit zero next year or whatever. But like, I'm not relying on him in the playoffs. Like, he's probably a sit if I'm a contender.
Well, I'm curious. Like, how much on top of James Conner do you have to give to get DeAndre Swift? Where are you at around there? Like probably a two and a three.
I don't know. I don't know how the public has switched on DeAndre Swift. How much they've gone back in?
I was assuming he was like a late first.
Yeah, so then it's got to be like an early two then, I think, at least.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. If you're a contender, a two and a three, and James Conner.
Yeah, I think that might get close. Right, because dependent on...
you can understand why it's starting to like feel enticing for the other owner, where you're getting a second and a third, and if they think that James Conner is startable,
yeah,
like if he's coming back this week, right?
Yeah, now that we're talking about that, I think that might have been a similar trade I did years before with Swift and Conner. Let me see if I could find it. Because I just pulled them up.
It does feel like a lot to give up for Swift, because I'm not really sure what his resale value would be, but man, he might be really solid down the stretch.
Yeah, I would definitely much rather have Swift. I would give up Conner second and third for Swift, like without a doubt. But if you have hesitation, that makes me think it is a fair trade.
I think it's a fair trade, all things considered. Because I'm not really sure how much more on top of that I'm willing to give up.
No, because I'm not giving up a first. I don't want to give up a first for DeAndre Swift. If I don't have to. And I'll give up a first worth of value, but I'm not giving up.
Thinking about it, if you win the championship, the trade might be worth it. That you're almost it really depends on if that 212 is a solid pick or not. If it's a really deep second round. Mm-hmm. But if you win that championship and it's 212, 312, that's all of a sudden you get into a spot where it could be some upside, because that 312 gets really dicey. That's, I think, more times than not a pretty crappy pick than it is a good one.
Yeah, agreed.
Just like slightly overvalued, which is funny coming from the guy that thinks that like all thirds are amazing. It's just like if you're 311 or 312, you're cooked.
just the perceived value change though from like 301 to 212 is so different. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah, it's massive.
So with that, I mean,
well, what's funny too, JT, is that the perceived value change from 311 to 404 is massive too, when realistically it depends on the class. Last year, I think, was an example where they're the same value, right? Because I think last year, by like 308, the third round started to get really cooked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, in retrospect, it's a little different, but from where I had guys ranked around. Whereas in years prior, you were still getting some second roundy kind of guys really late that at least like had a little bit more optics than like Brenton Strange, where
yeah,
like his path to relevancy was really tough.
Mm-hmm.
But man, that 312 is consistently a fourth rounder from drafts that I like, from what I'm going through in my head. It's consistently a fourth round pick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you sell that thing at a third round value, because the difference between 312 and 307 is huge. It's bigger than the difference between 212 and 207. Not like actual value wise, but in terms of like hit rates, it's gonna, to me, like you can actually like, okay, I can look at like the data behind these players and make a really like good, accurate decision. Whereas by the time you get to 312, it's like the fucking Wild West out there, man. Like,
while we're talking about this, though, I did find a different team that I'm a little wary of. I don't know how to feel about this team going into the playoffs.
Shoot, hit me.
And that's the Lions. Because I think it sounds better than it is in terms of, first week of the playoffs, you're playing the Broncos. Second week of the playoffs, you're playing the Vikings. And third week of the playoffs, you're playing the Cowboys. And if we're thinking about the likes of Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, well, the Broncos have allowed the least top 24 wide receiver games to their opponents. I mean, Stephon Diggs scored like 5 points in, I forget if that was half PPR or PPR, but Stephon Diggs did nothing. And then Dallas, also one of the lowest teams against wide receivers.
That team scares me. That matchup scares me if I'm a Lions fan.
Yeah, and then Minnesota, you would think their defense has allowed like a bunch of top 24 wide receiver games, but no, they're middle of the pack to even maybe, I don't know which way to describe it, but they're tougher than you would expect.
So I think the big key factor in those matchups is, are those matchups where the Lions are going to be able to just like, kind of like they have in recent weeks, just reset the line of scrimmage 4 yards down the field every play? Or is it going to be really tough and even up front? I think against Dallas, that's going to be a tough, even match game on the line of scrimmage. Yeah. So I don't think that the Lions are just going to go out there and be able to just roll people like they have. So that's a championship week, right?
Week 17, yeah.
That scares me. And honestly, I think that that's a boost for the Cowboys, because I think that in my eyes, the Cowboys up front have a basically as good as you're going to get in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at Jared Goff and I'm licking my chops a little bit, because we've seen how he does when you can get pressure. It's just hard to get pressure against the Lions. The Cowboys get pressure against everybody.
true.
So I think conversely that the Cowboys might be a good matchup in week 17 then, because they might just have the ball.
Yeah, you might be. That's a good point. I mean,
Cowboys defense, pick it up if you have defenses.
I mean, I'm assuming they've been picked up.
Trade sure for them.
Either one or two. Yeah, true. I'm trying to figure out who's home for this Vikings-Lions game, because that game, week 16, it's actually Christmas Eve. That game could be for the division. Yeah, the Lions are at Minnesota. So that's a division, like that's a big game in Minnesota, potentially backs against the wall. I mean, it depends on what they do in their first game with the Vikings Lions, which I think is, oh no, that is the first game.
I would think that the Lions have a have an advantage against the Vikings, though, because I think one of the most underrated ways to beat that heavy blitzing Brian Flores scheme is just being able to run the ball into it.
Yeah.
Because you can break off, if you send the house and you block everyone up, you can get really big chunk plays. And if there's any running game that can do that, it's the Lions running game that we've seen that's able to get those big chunk runs.
Am I remembering correct? Didn't CMC have a tough time against them, though? I'm trying to remember.
He might have, yeah. He might have. But once again...
Although, I don't know if Trent Williams was...
Yeah, Trent Williams was not playing in that game. It's a short week game, I believe. And no Debo... Brock Purdy as well.
It was not a good Brock game.
So it's just kind of like a different game.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is something, because once again, like if you think that that Vikings team can match up well, and that is a bad matchup for the Lions, then I agree with you. David Montgomery would be a hard sell right now then. So, okay, if we're talking about pieces to go and get players like DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery would be a really good one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, for that championship matchup, that is something that I'm going to be interested in now.
I wonder what the price difference is now between Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs. Because I can't imagine it's more than what it was at the beginning of the season. So I think that paying up to move from Jahmyr Gibbs into Bijan, I'd be very interested in doing. What do you think it would take?
So one of the issues I have, though, is that if I'm going to move off Jahmyr Gibbs, I think I want to break him apart and cash out than stay at the top. Now, with Bijan, it might be a different story, especially if I could do it straight up. I would do it straight up.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can pick up Swift plus... for Gibbs, right? If I can get like Swift in a first, and I still think that there are leagues where people in Superflex don't, especially like newer leagues, right? Where people still treat the running backs at these premium assets where you're giving up first round picks out the ass for them. Jahmyr Gibbs is like the new fucking Kamara, right? Like after the weeks that he's having right now, I just think that if you break him apart into Swift, into, I don't know what the Saints matchups are looking like, but maybe Kamara, Saquon. I don't know about Saquon because the Giants matchups are so shit. Fucking Keaton Mitchell. Can I get some Keaton Mitchell?
He's been all the crazy. He's one of the top trending guys in Dynasty Fantasy Football.
Yeah, we can hit on him in a second. But yeah, that's just how I feel like, is that I want to cash out on Jahmyr Gibbs more so than anything else.
Yeah. I like Jahmyr Gibbs, but if his price is soaring and everything after these few good games, I'd hit the cash out button too.
Because is he in two first round picks territory?
From a contender, definitely. Which I would rather two first.
Yeah, if we're getting into there, man, like, and this is what I'm saying, like, even as a contender, I might just hit the cash out button. If he has the bad matchup week 17, sweet. And then I might just literally use my seconds and trade for someone else. Like, here's where I come in and pick up Derrick Henry with those Houston matchups in week 15 and week 17, I believe they are.
Mm-hmm.
I pick up Jaylen Warren, one of these guys, Aaron Jones, and don't pay the first round pick territory and I cash out. Because,
mm-hmm.
dude, like, and this is just, it happens every year. Look at the fucking top of the board. The running backs that have any semblance of success instantly get catapulted into these crazy valuations.
Yeah, they do. And I do have another guy that we're talking about. If we're talking about getting catapulted into the top, that I'd probably be looking to move off in the running back world, especially when we look at his schedule. And that is Kenneth Walker. He's splitting snaps with Charbonnet, which is not great. You never want that running back by committee. His first week is against the Eagles as well in terms of the playoffs, which we were just talking about. Probably one of the top teams against the run, if not the top team. Then in the second week, they play the Titans, who are also... Oh, I just lost my thing. The Titans are also like middle of the pack against the run. They're not like crazy good against the run, but middle of the pack team.
Just like a well-coached, you're going to play hard kind of unit.
Yeah. And then they have your team as well, the Steelers, who are also... Actually, the Steelers are one of the top teams against the run.
Yeah, we're pretty nice.
Yeah, so... Oh, no, wait, no, sorry. That's... I was looking at wide receivers. Steelers are middle of the pack against the run.
I wouldn't consider the Steelers a good matchup. Like, you can have success against us, but...
Yeah, flip the Steelers and Titans. Titans are actually one of the best teams against the run. They're tied with Baltimore, Minnesota, and San Francisco. And then the Steelers are, yeah, more middle of the pack against the run. It's not a matchup you want. But yeah, again, with the catapult, like, this was a guy that we're talking about as running back two. This is a guy that still has his believers. He did break off that long pass for a touchdown against the Commanders. I think that was a pass. Maybe that was a run. Against the Commanders. So he scored, and his fantasy output didn't look bad. But if you look at, like, the underlying stats, like, it's not someone that I want to be holding the bag on for a long term.
Well, I just think that this is a player. I mean, if you can actually get, like, Devontae Adams or Keenan Allen plus, or Deebo Samuel, or...
I think you definitely can, yeah.
One of those, like, if I'm getting one of those types of players who's putting up what DJ Moore, right, Cooper Kupp, whatever one of these guys that are legitimately just older elite talents, and I'm a contender, 100% I'm doing that. I disagree with you on the running back by committee thing being that much of a ding. I don't mind it if the offense is really good. The problem is that I don't think the Seahawks are really good. Like, mm-hmm. they're good, but they're not really good. So you're right. That's only going to support one, like, good running back, right? Mm-hmm. Kenneth Walker right now, the 39th ranked dynasty asset, that is just too high. There's so many players that down the board of just running backs and receivers that I would trade down into. T. Higgins, DK Metcalf, Zay Flowers. I'm not sure about Drake London as a contender. Tank Dell, I'd seriously think about. Cooper Kupp, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift and get the plus. Maybe Javonte and get the plus. I don't know. Probably not. Keenan Allen, Devontae Adams, Deebo Samuel, George Pickens, Tony Pollard, Alvin Kamara, Christian Kirk, Marquise Brown, Terry McLaurin. I mean, the list just goes on, folks.
There are very, like, few players on that list that I'd rather have Kenneth Walker over.
And the fact of the matter is that you can get plus on a majority of them.
Yeah. Hey, Skull. Hey, PTLR. Sorry, I'm just catching up.
I mean, fuck, I'm thinking about Keaton Mitchell, too. Like, not actually.
That's a little crazy. No,
it depends on the plus.
What do you think of Ramondre rest of the season with his schedule? I don't know what the Patriots are. That's another good question.
That's the issue.
Because, so, we championship week, the Patriots have the Bills. Then the Patriots play who in week 16? I could have easily just looked this up by picking Ramondre Stevenson. Okay. They play the Broncos week 16 and the Chiefs week 15. And if I'm looking at running backs, the Chiefs are middle of the pack, Broncos middle of the pack, and the Bills are also middle. So it's a middle schedule. You're not getting any too hard.
The problem is that those are just tough defenses to score a lot against. So
yeah. Well, and this team's not scoring a lot, let me tell you.
But the fact of the matter is that Ramondre, and I think this is an issue that you can run into when you have I don't think James Cook, because there was enough hype, but maybe someone like a Mixon right now, where at face value, at the price that's listed on these calculators, it's worth trading them away for similar assets. But because they're trending down players, you're just not getting that price. And then it's not worth trading them away. And I think that Ramondre Stevenson, there's a good chance that he fits into there, where he's just a falling asset, but the price that you actually get is just not worth it. It's like what, 205, let's say. No, I want Ramondre over 205 right now.
Yeah.
Especially like when we're talking about contender moves, right? You're not going to be able to get a better contending player for 205. Like, that's a multiple year strategy, getting 205.
I'm just wondering what his, from a contender and rest of season, like that's not someone, I'm probably not going out and buying Ramondre though for two. I'm probably not trading my 205 for Ramondre.
No, because I'd rather buy some of the other players that we have listed.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, if you had Ramondre, you can always do the age-old strategy of start throwing other mid-shit in and see if someone will give you one of the good things.
True.
That actually works a lot better than you would think, and Ramondre Stevenson at least holds a little bit of name brand value. So, in turn, like, using him as a piece, if someone, like, this is if someone is giving you that face value for him, 100% I want to use him as a piece to get someone better. So, like, instantly, once again, if there's a team that is thinking about selling one of the good contender players, Davante Adams, Deebo Samuel, Cooper Kupp, DJ Moore, Michael Pittman might be in that scenario right now. Tank Dell is around there, right? Because he's a weird player to value. All those types of players I would be looking into seeing how much it costs to give on top of Ramondre for. I mean, even Christian Kirk I'd be thinking about, right? Because Christian Kirk, I think, is low-key nice. Amari Cooper.
I like Amari Cooper.
Derrick Henry. I mean, Derrick Henry, you might just be able to get, like, I don't even know if he's probably worth more than Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Derrick Henry's worth less than Ramondre. I don't know if I'd do that one, though.
I think Derrick Henry is just going to be going nuclear, man, at the end of the year.
Dude, Amari Cooper's end of the season. So Amari Cooper has Chicago first week of the playoffs, obvious. Good play there. But then Houston and the Jets the next 2 weeks are tough.
Right, but Amari Cooper, man, he's just kind of him.
He's very good. I like Amari Cooper.
See, the other thing, too, though, is that the Browns' offense is... Now, I hate the Jets at that last week. I'll give you that. Because that pass rush scares me. But the Browns' offense has been clicking a lot more than people are giving them credit for. And they had that incredible comeback win, some of it geared by their fantastic defense. But it wasn't pretty, especially early, and the stats are not going to be in favor of Deshaun. But they were able to move the ball when they needed to.
I'm pretty sure Deshaun went like 12 for 12 throwing in the second half, something crazy like that. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is a team that's finally starting to put it together. They have your Steelers this week.
Yeah, I think the Browns are a scary team right now. Yeah. If they keep clicking on offense this way. This is the best we've seen their offense look. And once again, Amari Cooper is an elite player. If you have one of these, like a Ramondre or a David Montgomery, it might be worth seeing what the price is. Especially David Montgomery. If he has a bad... The only reason you have him is for a championship.
Yeah.
That's the only way it makes sense. Other than that, you get him off your roster.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm moving off David Montgomery.
That's the thing, is that if you think he's going to give you like a great week, like an RB1 week in your playoffs, then it's worth it. But that's a great find, dude. That's like the stereotypical, you got to get off this player. Yeah, I hope no one from the home league's watching, though.
Do you have David Montgomery? I don't know who has David Montgomery.
Yeah, I've got David Montgomery. He's been nice, yeah. Dude. He's a plug-and-play running back, but I don't want to start him against the Cowboys in the last week of the year.
No.
If Fuck that.
You have a lot of good running backs, though, in the home league.
Watch. As I say this, he's going to go nuclear. He's going to go for, like, 30 points in week 17 of the championship, and I'm going to be playing against him.
It is random what the players just pop off out of nowhere in championship.
And I remember Lee was complaining about Higbee. The Lions too much.
Hey, what else do we want to talk about?
Well, I mean, speaking of the Titans, offensively, they have interesting matchups where they play Seattle. They play Houston twice and then Seattle. We've said Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Do you trust this passing game? I mean, Houston's pass defense is nice because their pass rush is actually pretty solid right now.
Their pass rush, yeah.
I mean, they're not like elite, but...
So the thing is, playing Houston twice, though, I don't know what to think of this current Houston team with the way that CJ Stroud is playing.
I mean, if they keep getting in shootouts, it's worth starting the players on the other side.
That's true. That's true. I don't know, dude. This Titans team, it is a big question, too, of like what Will Levis are we seeing, too? Are we seeing the first week Will Levis where it's like no one really knew what to expect and he's just tossing dimes to DeAndre Hopkins, this team's moving the ball quickly and efficiently? Or are we getting like the previous 2 weeks of Will Levis where it's like he's been okay, but like the actual output and efficiency of this offense is just not desirable?
I will say it was kind of annoying not seeing him have a better day against a Buccaneers team where you know against Vita Vea you're not going to be able to run the ball very well. But they, like, other teams have been able to have success airing it out against the Bucs, and they couldn't do anything. I mean, it was like Sack Nation. Yeah, they scored 6 points. Yeah, they scored 6 points, and I don't know, Will Levis probably took like four just gigantic sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they did nothing. It was a snoozer. So I like the Bucs, right? Now is that the Bucs defense figuring it out? And because we've seen that Bucs group be really elite before, so I don't think you can just say like, oh, their pass defense is automatically dog shit. But other teams have had that success. But I still want to buy Henry, dude. I still want to buy Henry. I think he's being massively discounted, and he's going to provide chips again.
I don't know. I'm worried about the cliff. It is the prophecy, though, of the Texans and him just running all over the Texans. But at some point, that can't be the case anymore.
Yeah, that's fine. But that some point is next year, right? At some point. Okay. It's fine. I'm buying him for these 3 weeks, right? I'm buying him for these 3 weeks. And I'm hopefully trading in some other player for him and not using my draft picks to get him. You know, like I move off my random fucking running backs that come into relevance that people have way too much hope for. I pick up the next Alexander Mattison and trade him for Henry. And then we're all good. All is right in the world.
I guess. All right. Any other players you're thinking of? I'm trying to look across my leagues.
Well, I mean, I'd be interested just to touch on Keaton Mitchell a little bit and what your thoughts are on him.
That's an excellent question, Frank.
I'm pretty pro Keaton Mitchell.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Like consistently expanding. It's him and Gus Edwards. He outproduced Gus Edwards, albeit, you know, he only had 3 touches compared to Gus Edwards, I think, like 12. It's just more of a question of, is Harbaugh and Monken going to give him that bigger role that we want from him? Because he's been doing a lot with his very limited role.
Right. We're going to see that. They play Thursday, right?
Is it Thursday against the Bengals?
I believe it's Thursday. I think that they're going to give him a good amount of volume. I think he's at least getting 10, 12 touches.
Okay. That would be basically, I mean, he's a rookie, but that would be his career high, 12 touches.
Yeah, I think we're seeing his career high amount of touches on Thursday. And listen, I really like Keaton Mitchell. his price tag is pretty hefty that I'm seeing on Keep Trade Cut. He's right now worth more than Najee Harris, one spot above, a couple spots above Romeo Doubs and Aaron Jones, above Jameson Williams, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Lockett. Right, there are some big names that he's above. And that's a little bit interesting as a sell point that we're like...
Yeah, that's where I start to get concerned, because you're telling me Aaron Jones and Jameson Williams, okay. It's like, I'm willing to forego the perceived, like, oh, maybe he does break out of Jameson Williams, which I just don't think is ever coming. I'll go and try and get the actual breakout in Keaton Mitchell. But if you're telling me, like, the points proven Aaron Jones and the likes of that, I'd probably just rather those veteran players.
Right, well, especially someone like Tyler Lockett, right? He's a type of contender player that is basically just plug and play. But man, Keaton Mitchell has the juice, though. He has the juice. I have him in I think, two or three leagues. And I will say, I am not really looking to sell right now. I have not been pondering the market. Is that foolish of me?
Maybe. I don't know what the market's dictating, what the market wants. I haven't seen any real Keaton Mitchell trades.
I haven't either. I mean, listen, everyone likes him, though, and he's just a rising player. But you just, like, he has so much upside that I want the hype to get more. Like, I want to sell out at a first, not at a second.
You think he could get that first?
I mean, if he looks like he's going to get the majority share of the backfield, there's going to be people on the Dynasty Reddit assuming that's going to happen for the next 10 years.
Yeah, well, hold on. I had the Dynasty Reddit up before. There was a post about him that's one of the top posts of the week. Let me see if I can find it. I'm struggling to find it. Keaton Mitchell, the real deal.
The real deal.
Basically, they're asking, could he be a back-end league winner if he gets added opportunity, or is he immediate sell high? And
what's the consensus saying? What are the top posts saying?
It's more of a lot of jokes. It's just wondering why he's not getting the opportunities when he's just outperforming Gus Edwards. Other people being like, oh, I traded him away, so he must be going to go off now. I'd sell him if someone's paying for his last 2 weeks. I'm nervous about his size. I've got him, so I'd love him if he was the real deal. But again, his size makes me think it's unlikely. I mean, what is, like, he's 5'8".
Yeah, he's small. I'm not really concerned about height,
but 191's not, like, 5'8", 191 is fine.
Here's the thing, JT. I'm concerned about size if you don't have the fucking juice. All right? This guy's got the juice. What does he need size for? He's got the juice. Now he just needs to be like a little like Kenneth Gainwell out there, right? Just like fight for some yards and you're chilling. Like what people need is the juice. All right. Then you figure out the fucking size thing.
Yeah, true.
But dude, he was hyper productive in college, right? Mm-hmm. Has had really good PFF grades the first 2 weeks. Obviously has had the nasty production. I don't know. I just am not looking to sell, especially because I have him in one of my leagues as a contender. This could be huge points for my running back position, but man, I don't know. I'm like flipping back and forth. My gut says no. My gut says hold. We hold. We ride for the first.
All right. That's bold.
I at least hold for Thursday, because I do think he gets a crap ton of touches on Thursday.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, I don't know.
He's one of those guys, though, that still has his bye week.
I don't think it's unreasonable if Isaiah Pacheco and James Cook instantly got to the heights of first round picks.
He could be there. He could be there.
What's to say?
I don't like it, though. Look, if he is worth the first, I'm out. I'm 100% out.
I mean, am I close? Where is he in relation to the Steelers running back? Jaylen Warren.
Warren?
Man, Kyron Williams is still worth a lot.
That's another player I'm off on.
I guess he's slightly lower than Jaylen Warren. I don't know, dude. Maybe I'm just taking the Steelers' bait, but I think that Jaylen Warren could be pretty legit. If our offense gets good and we can actually throw the ball, he fits that so well with his style of running. He needs to get a little bit better as a receiver, but...
Yeah, I'm more so concerned about your actual passing attack and everything than...
Yeah, but dude, we have some solid talent. Like, I think it's unfair to say, like, okay, well, a year or two from now, Jaylen Warren is just going to be stuck in the same exact scenario he is right now. Right, a whole lot can change. So, just looking at, like, it makes sense for us to get rid of Najee when the time comes. He has been getting a lot of targets to begin with, which I think is really important.
Mm-hmm.
When he's able to ascend into a role where he is the alpha running back, I just think he projects for a lot of usage and is still going to be pretty solid.
Yeah, but I think the same could have been said about Tony Pollard.
Yeah, I completely agree with Tony Pollard. But the thing, dude, yeah, Tony Pollard hasn't panned out, but he has panned out, right? Yeah, if you bought him at a first-round pick, it's been a bad buy. But if you bought him at a second-round pick or anything less than a first-round pick, it's been a pretty solid move for the most part.
And what are we saying Jaylen Warren's worth again?
Jaylen Warren is currently on keep trade cut. Where is he? Right next to Derrick Henry. One spot below Derrick Henry. One spot above Calvin Ridley. Two spots above Quentin Johnston. Nick Chubb. Judy. Jacoby Myers. Keaton Mitchell. Najee. Christian Watson. Mixon. Tyjae. Jahan Dotson.
It's a mixed bag. That's a mixed bag of what I'd rather Jaylen Warren. I guess that's fairly rated, though, because, I mean, I'm hearing those names, and
there's right. some I'd so rather have. He's in have, this mid-secondy kind of region, right, where, like, right now, people are going to be like, oh, 205, and then once the draft comes around, they're going to be like, fuck yeah, 205. Like,
Yeah, true. You're exactly right there.
Which is why I just want to hold these picks right now, by the way. Like, you want to do these player-for-player trades, get the picks now. Like, get these seconds now. While you can, man, because you can get some solid seconds right now. But yeah, dude, I do think, like, Jaylen, I don't know. I think Jaylen Warren has a bright future.
Okay. I'm not completely out on Jaylen Warren. Because I kind of like him too, but we're creeping up to the point where I'm not going to be buying Jaylen Warren.
Right. The price tag is, it may just be a little bit too late. Because at the same time, it's like, what would I rather have? Kneeless Nick Chubb or Jaylen Warren? But I still think that there are ways to get into him. Like trading James Cook for him.
I would trade James Cook for Jaylen Warren.
All right, but yeah, that's basically all I've got.
I don't have anything either. I don't know what Jake. This might not be a Jake-sode.
Yep. Well, if you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Really appreciate it. We'll catch you next Tuesday. Peace out. Have a good one. Good luck in your matchups down the stretch. See ya.
Thanks, everyone.